Okay, so let's discuss some of the hakakos of Basbukhalov. I really, like I said, it looks longer than it is. Just I gave you an English article on the waiting between after cheese.
It's a single space.
It's single space, and no margins. Whatever, that's okay. Okay,
26
so
sources.
That's okay.
Gotta be thorough.
We'll go fast. Okay, I hope.
We're in a rush.
Okay, so. Just before we get to the harchakos, just to pick up where David Eli left off. So David Eli dealt with the issue which does come up in the Gemara, which is waiting after meat for milk. But there's the opposite issue, which is waiting after milk for meat. Right? So where did I put that? I put that later on, I think, actually. I'm trying to think how I actually organize this now. Yeah. Okay. So let's just look at through some of the Gemaras here and then try to figure out where that issue comes from, where the Harchakos come from. Okay, so the first source you've seen is the Gemara in Chulin, Amar Rav Chisda, Achal Basar Asar Lechal Gvina, Gvina Mutar Lechal Basar. Right? Medina de Gemara, after you eat meat, there is some waiting period after before you can eat dairy, but after dairy, there's no waiting period. And the Gemara says explicitly, "Kama Yisha Bein Gvina LeBasar Amalei VeLo Klum." Right, Medina the Gemara, you don't have to wait at all. And then the continuation, or actually the previous part of the Gemara in two, says, "Tana Agra Chamud Rabbi Chama Of Ugvina Nechal and Bapi Koren." Right, chicken and dairy, you can eat Bapi Koren. What's Bapi Koren?
Just
Behefker, right? Now, the question that the poskim deal with is what that means, right? The question halachically is what that means, but that's the phrase that the Gemara presents it as. And then, who tani lava hu amar la? And what does he mean, api koran? So the Gemara says, first it means, maybe below natila sedaim velo kinu achapeh. That it means that you don't even have to wash out your mouth, you don't have to wash your hands, even though from meat to milk. Midin the Gemara, you do. You have to do kinuach v'hadacha. You have to wash your hands and your mouth. From milk to meat, you wouldn't have to. Yitzchak b'rei d'Rav Mishar she'iklu lebei Rav Ashi. Aisu le'gvina achal. Right, so he brought him cheese. He ate it. Aisu le'bisra achal. He brought him meat after that, and he ate it. V'lo mashi yade. He didn't wash his hands. Amri le v'atani agra chamod rabbi abba ofu gvina achal and bapi karen ofu gvina in basar gvina lo. He said to him, but wait a second. Didn't he say that was only true of chicken and cheese, which implies what, right?
Meat
what
cheese.
Meat and cheese not, because chicken and cheese is unique because it's only Darabanan. So maybe the d'oraisa, you would have xera and you wouldn't be able to eat dairy and then actual meat without washing your hands. Amarlo ani mili belilya. So no, that's only at night. Aval biyamama hakachazina. But during the day, what's hakachazina?
You can see
what?
Your hands.
Right, so he's saying it's not that you actually have to wait. The only reason you have to wait is because you might have something left over on your hands. So then you would have to wash your hands potentially at night because you're not sure if there's mamashes left on your hands. So the Gemara continues, Tanya Beishamai Omrim Mikaneach. Then what is it that you have to do between the two of them? So Beishamai says Mikaneach. Right? Vizel Omrim Mediach. So my Mikaneach, my Mediach. What is that? So Ilema Beishamai Omrim Mikaneach Loboy Mediach. If it means the Beishamai thinks you need to wash out your mouth, but you don't have to scrub your hands. Vizel Omrim Mediach Loboy Mikaneach. And Bezil thinks the opposite. El Hadam Rabzira and Kinuach Pas, El Bepas. That Kinuach is only with bread. So Kiman Kibeshamai. Right? If Bezil doesn't need Kinuach, doesn't need you to wash out your mouth with anything, then when the Gemara says that in Kinuach Bepas, are we saying halacha only according to Beishamai, we never do that because we don't paskin like him. So ela Beishamai omrim mikaneach v'lo boy mediach. So Beishamai must hold that you only have to wash out your mouth by eating a little bit of bread. Beishil omrim af mediach. Beishil says you have to wash as well. Habele mikula Beishamai chum rabbi Beishil. And this is one of the cases where Beishamai is more makil than Beishil. So the Gemara is listening to Beishil Beishamai chum rabbi Beishil. So why don't you teach it in that context? So ela Beishamai omrim, the Gemara changes its mind again. Mekaneach v'hu adin l'mediach. Beishil omrim mediach v'hu adin l'mekaneach. You're right. Really, you have to do both kinuach and hadacha. Mara marchada, mara marchada v'lo pligi. And they weren't arguing at all. They just mentioned different things. And gufam rabzera and kinuach hapel b'pas. The only way to rinse out your mouth, quote unquote, is with bread. V'hani mili b'dechite, but that's only with wheat. Aval b'sare lo, but not with barley bread. Why not? Barley bread.
Because it's grainier, it fell apart.
Right, so it won't successfully clean your mouth out. Udechide nami lomrim bekriira v'chamima mishter shari v'hani milibrechiva v'akushe lo. And then he says it also can't be hot bread, and it also can't be stale bread. The hilchos, but the halacha is no. B'chol melei the kinuach levar mi'chim chatam rivi yarka. In the end, any bread would work. The only thing that won't work is flour, dates, and vegetables. Okay, so Medina de Gemara, what we seem to think is that is that between meat and milk you need kinuach and hadacha. Between milk and meat, you seem not to need anything as long as it's during the day. At night, you would need it. Right, because at night, you wouldn't be able to see, so you'd have to make sure. That's the simplest read of the Gemara. We'll see whether that carries through to Poskim. So in 3, the Torah just quotes, that Rabbeinu Peretz Kasav, Yesh l'rachsam af b'yom, l'fi shepamim shagvina, shmeina minin mekes bit lachluchis he'adayim v'lava daite. So Rabbeinu Peretz says, even though that might be true maker adin, that during the day you don't have to do anything between milk and meat, he suggests not doing that, but actually washing your hands even during the day, because even during the day, there might be something stuck in your hands that you wouldn't notice. The Rambam in 4, he explains his position on this again. He says, So he ends up taking the original position of the Gemara and actually distinguishing between the Daraisa and the Darabanans, and saying that if you go from milk to Daraisa meat, so then you need kinuach v'hadacha, but to Darabanan, to Oaf, you don't. And that goes Maimani in 5. Summarizes some of the positions who argue. So he says, first of all, he says, "Chol devrei amud kasev betelesvos shenagu haolam shelo kalach gedolos v'rabbeinu tam sheperish adam rav chitz achal basar aser lechol gvina perish ad sheyase kinuach hapeh v'netilas yadayim ag achal gvina mutar lechol basar below kinuach v'hadacha." So he summarized that his position that in fact from meat to milk. Unique, right? If you remember, Rabbeinu Tam's position is that you don't have to wait from meat to milk. So the only thing you need is kinuach v'hadacha. But from meat to milk, the only thing you need is kinuach v'hadacha. So from milk to meat, you need nothing. Right? And that's the position of Rabbeinu Tam. The second thing is that v'chein rach Rabbeinu Tam v'rashi bears shtrichen shnehem kinuach v'hadacha. And then he just knows that when we say you need kinuach v'hadacha, because of ma'aram shein tzarach l'dakdek ezim en yakdim, it doesn't matter which one goes first, you just need both. The governor of Sefer HaMitzvah, sheminag shel ritzbah shel achar hadachas yadav upiv, the ritzbah was even more machmer, and his minag was that after he would wash his hands and rinse out his mouth, he would take his finger, put it in his mouth, l'toch piv, u'bodeg yafa shel yishar dav refiv, he would check and make sure there's nothing left in his mouth, v'achar kach osa kinuach hapas bepas. And then he would take the bread to check it. He would kill two birds with one stone. Not only how would he rinse his mouth out and use the bread to rinse his mouth, he would wet the bread, right? And that would count for rinsing his mouth and using the bread to get it out. Or he would eat something and then drink something. And that's how he paskins, right? So you have the Ashkenazi psak is to do kinuach and hadacha, which means wash your hands, rinse out your mouth, and use the bread to get out the things. And then you have all these sort of compromise positions in how you can kill two birds with one stone. Okay. The Beis Yosef quotes the Rashba in 6. It says as follows: Zelosh na Rashba Torah Zabayis, Ochal Of Ochaya, Yish Mishahorash Ochal Achreem Miyad Gvina, Velo Kinuach Hape, Velo Netilas Yadayim. The Rambam paskins that after Dirabanan, so you don't have to do anything. They ain't Divrei Michuvarim.
You quote it differently because the Rambam says puts Behema and Chaya in the same category and Of in a separate category.
Correct, but
which is also interesting.
Right, he has a different citation of it, right, which comes down to the question of whether Lamaskana Chaya is Darais or Dirabanan. Ugdolei Mechaber Masru. But he said most poskim don't say that, and they say no. Ochal achar basar behema, ochal gvina tchila, ochal achar of ochaya below kinuach hapeh. But if it's milk to meat, the halacha is you can just eat it immediately without kinuach hapeh. Lo until it's a daim. Lo zed datinu no tev is a because eroy lahoros. Mitoch mashikasavti is yashul lechalam because the rabbeinu dinze b'shem Rambam lo kasustam. And now it makes sense that the Torah only quotes these chumras and these positions in the name of the Rambam. Came in shushanu b'gemara, even though it's in the Gemara. After the fire, the gvina achar of nami no chavat bikar. And from the Gemara itself, you could have understood that even cheese after chicken, you could eat bapikara and kedivra and ramban. Oh, the oaf, the knockout lav dafka, do it in lachaya. Came in chasuran min darabon and kedivra rashba, lakakos versa ramdam, the mafka michavayu. So he quoted the Rambam, so even though you could have read the Gemara that way, right, lamaskara, it's not that way. And after meat, even chicken, we make you wait, but not the other way around. Okay.
How does the previous opinion explain that Gemara then? Of oaf and gvina?
Probably they're just rejected.
They just say, like, velo klum, we just don't hold by that statement at all.
I mean, velo klum, like,
argues with them in the Gemara, even.
What?
The Gemara just kind of accepts that statement as is.
I mean, apikoran will allow you to eat chicken, and I mean, milk and then meat, right? But not, but the apikoran the other way, even with chicken, we wouldn't. Right? The apikoran is only when you start with the dairy. That's how the Gemara, right? That's how they read it. Okay. So they,
it doesn't seem to be saying that. Over the gavina and the achli and babikorin. It doesn't. You can both kind of just...
Correct, but that's how they're going to end up reading it. Right.
Or else you couldn't do it otherwise.
Okay, so we're not going to get into the waiting after meat. But so far what the Gemara seems to say is that it's clear that after meat you need to wait or you need kunoach hanadach. After milk, the Gemara seems to think you don't. Possibly you don't need anything. Possibly you need kinuach hadacha. Maybe only at night. Maybe you should be machmer during the day, but maker a din, you seem not to need it. Despite that, there are those who wait after milk and meat, right? Not just wash, but they actually wait after milk and meat. Now, why do they do that? Did Shlomo Ali mention that? Did David Ali mention this?
Who wait after meat?
After milk.
Because
the Gemara is pretty clear, you don't.
There's like the hard
so we haven't gotten to hard cheese yet, but even just after dairy. So first of all, there's some people who wait after regular dairy, either half an hour.
I've heard that.
Right, half an hour, an hour. Now, where does that come from? That comes from a Zohar, which is quoted in the Beis Yosef, and it's also quoted, I just gave one line. What?
Like
K-Dan,
so it's in the Zohar. So she'll
right, so if you look in 7, the Grudge quotes it. I just gave you one line of it. Right, Benu Yal Divrei HaZohar, Parash Mishpatim, the Koman, the Achel, HaMichla, Kechada, O B'Shaita, Chada, V'Zosu, Chada. Right, the occurs of eating it in the same hour, and they read that either in the same hour, the same half an hour, the same short period of time. So there are those who are Makbid, but again, Mekra Din, it seems to be that after milk,
you have to do Hadachah,
right,
or nothing.
Either you need to wash your mouth, according to some she does, or you need to do absolutely nothing. But waiting, you don't seem to need to do. Now, the thing that people do wait for is, as you said, hard cheese. Now, where does that come from?
It comes from the reason of the taste still being in your mouth, right?
Right. So the misvara, where it comes from, is that the taste might still stay just like, right? But it originally comes from a chumah of the Maharam Rotenberg. So the Darkei Moshe...
Does it say anything in the Gemara about it?
What? It doesn't appear anywhere in the Gemara. It quotes from a true of the Maram of Rutenberg. The Darkei Moshe quotes it in 8. If you want to look at it inside, so you can skip to 9 and see the actual true of the Maram of Rutenberg. And he says, "Shal Adoni Shishamata Da'ani Noach Shalolecho Basar Behema V'chaya Achar Gvina." You heard that I have a minog not to eat meat after cheese. We make a basar oaf. So Bimei Churfi said, when I was young, I would make fun of people who did that. And my Rebbe said, and I thought that waiting after cheese was heresy, because it's against the Gemara. Until what happened once, I ate cheese, and they meat, and what I found things between my
teeth,
which is one of the two reasons that you have to wait after meat. So gazarti lahachmir al atzmi bebasar achar gvina. So I was gozer on myself that I shouldn't have meat after cheese. Kamo gvina achar basar, just like cheese after meat. The ain medavar zek cholik al talmud lo kamosif shehu goreh. And I'm not adding to the Gemara because he said, you see in the Gemara in kol basar the people had their own chumras, right? Ana lahamilsa kechalabar chumra the ilu abak kidahave ochel bisra idne lave ochel gvinta ad lamachar. You saw people waited 24 hours or cholchan matzi lachmure, and after anyone can be machmer himself as much as he wants. Losses mishmeres who basar of ani mekel, but by chickens then I am mekel came into basar of gvin nechalan bapikoren, because they can be eaten. I'm a Bapi Koren.
He never mentions Hadacha or...
Right. He just says, wait six hours.
We know that waiting is like Hadacha.
Exactly.
It has similar quality.
Right.
Waiting
is, I think, it has... it's out of your mouth by the way after waiting.
Yeah, but then why didn't he also bring up Hadacha? That's like in Kinyo.
You don't have to do that.
Right, because
you
waited.
Can do it instead of waiting. Why not?
Right, if you think you can do that,
if,
right?
If it takes over,
which some of the Baalitos thought you could, but okay.
Clearly.
Right. Now, so the Darkei Moshe just quotes the Mordechai quoting the Rami Rittenberg. And then if you just look four lines from the bottom, in 8, right, he says, and many people have this minhag to not eat meat after hard cheese. Achar basar. Okay, right. So he quotes, and then he quotes the Zohar that we already saw. Okay, so now we look halach l'maisa, right? So how do people paskin, right? Do we actually paskin that you have to wait? So if you look in Shulchan Aruch and 10,
he says, what's hard cheese?
And, well, that's why I gave you the English article, right? So if you look in 10,
that lists all the cheese you're telling me about.
Yeah. Right. I actually didn't give you the list of the cheese. You can look at the rest, but he outlines the policies that the OU gave for it. It's the OU policy document, basically. So 10. So Shulchan Aruch just says as follows. Right. Achal gvina mutar lechal achar basar miyad. Right. This is the summary of the halachos. You eat cheese. Mikar adin. You should be allowed to have meat immediately. B'vad she ayin yadav shleish shum davar magvina neg bakrehem. As long as you check, meaning he doesn't need. Kinuach, hadach, I doesn't need anything, you just need to check, which is the simple read of the Gemara.
Right, you can't really check.
And where did he get that from the Gemara? Because the Gemara said, Hani Mili, Bilel, Yavol, Bia, Mama, Hamis, Chazina. During the day you can see, right? So therefore, he just takes the Gemara Kipshuta, that Kinuach and hadach is a meat after milk thing. Meat, milk after milk, meat. Milk after meat thing. Yeah. Meat after milk, you don't need anything. The only thing you need to do is you should be able to see it.
Take your hand, you don't need to take your mouth even.
Right, or make sure that nothing's there.
Kind of makes
could be also
right.
Like this and check your
yeah, like check like that. Right. Right, like the reset. Right, put your finger in your mouth, whatever it is. And v'im haya balayla sheinu yochalayin osam heitem tzarach l'rachtam v'tzarach l'kaneach piv la dichol. But he says your mouth you do have to. Right, so your hands. He says you don't have to, but he does require kinuach v'hadacha. Right, to get it out of your mouth. Vakinuach, and how is kinuach work? Kushilos pas v'kaneach bo piv yafer. Right, so we in the end of the day pas because you do need kinuach v'hadacha. Even milk to meat, you need kinuach hadach. How do you do it? You're to take whatever you want. Chutz, as the Gemara concluded, chutz mikimcha tamrei v'yarka, except for flour and dates and vegetables. V'yishem nidbagim b'chanichayim, because they stick to your palate. Mikan chenyafa, so they don't actually clean your mouth. V'achar kach yediach
bit v'mayim v'yayim. You eat the bread, or you just like put it in your mouth and spit it out.
So that's a machloket. Yes? It's a machloket.
You can also brush your teeth.
You could brush your teeth, right? It's a machlokes amongst the poskim whether you can spit it out or not. But you could brush your teeth. Many poskim say you could just brush your teeth. But he passes like the Rambam that if you're going to have chicken after cheese, you don't even need kinuach and netila. But the Rama says, no, v'yesh machmir afilu basar achar gvina. Some people are machmir, as we saw from the Rami Rittenberg, that you should wait after cheese. V'chein no'agin shechol ha'gvina kasha in ochlan acharei afilu basar of. That if you eat a hard cheese, so then you wait like you would with meat, k'mo gvina achar basar. V'yesh mekilin. There's some more milk. Mekil v'ein limchot. You shouldn't protest if people are mekil. Rak sheyasa kinuach v'adacha unfilas yadayim. As long as they wash their hands and their mouth, as we saw, miyutov la'achmir. The Rama says, maker adin, you don't have to, but many people are, and you could be machmir. Now, in 11, the Shach quotes Marshal, who says that we should be Megil, and he says, Marshal, Kara Tagar al Machmirim, Shehuk Mominus, he said it was heresy to be Machmir, Vamar Davka Maram. It was only the Maram, Shabamichshal Yodo Pamachas Hichmir, because the Maram once had a case in which it was he actually had a problem, so he was machmir. Misha lo bali ado takala. But if you never had a problem, you can't be machmir. So the Marshal, now we read the Maharam. I think the Marshal is right in the Maharam, right? That the Maharam was just having a chumra for himself. The Shach thinks not that way. She'ein vara muchrachim. He thinks it's not true. V'ader ava divrei Maharam sham mashma ivcha. He thinks the Maharam implies the opposite, that it wasn't just a minhag for him, it was a minhag for everybody. Now, I'm not sure how he gets that from the Maharam.
He says, like, ani, right?
Is she reading the
right, parts? It says ani. I don't get it, right? I think the Marshal is right in the Maharam, that the Maharam accepted his own minhag. Right, that it happened to him, and he was only machmir on himself. But he even says the reason it's not a problem is because everyone has their own chumras in Basar B'chalav. But the Shach thinks no, that's impossible in the Maharam. The Maharam was clearly making a takana for the whole world. So despite the fact that I'm not convinced why the Marshal is not right in the Maharam, the Minog seems to be like the Shach, right? To assume that the Maharam was making a takana for everybody, and that after cheese you do have to wait, and you can't suffice with kinuach v'adacha, which is what you would suffice with if you just had, a cup of milk rather than hard cheese.
You have to wait the full time for any cheese, according to the Rama?
Well, for hard cheese, right? That's the way, at least the way the Rama qualifies it, with hard cheese. So what I gave you here, Ray Gordimer is the head of the dairy in the OU, right? So this is just his article summarizing it. We don't have to read through all of it. We can just glance at it, but I gave it to you to give you an idea of what they say. Right? He said, the post-game are clear, the waiting period after consuming hard cheese before then eating meat is identical to the waiting period after eating meat before one wishes to partake of dairy foods. However, shach, okay, there are some who don't think that's so clear, but that's the general psak. Thus, one should follow his personal custom regarding waiting after meat for the purpose of waiting after hard cheese. The most crucial question, however, is what constitutes hard cheese? According to the Rama, is all cheese that we refer to as hard included in this category? The answer is a clear no. The Shachtas and other early poskim explained that cheese is considered to be hard for the purpose of waiting if it is 6 months old. 6 months old, right? It's developed holes done via worms in the old days, right? It's aged cheese. It should be noted that the 6 month period is apparently not absolute. This is emphasized by some contemporary poskim. For the Shach writes that in general 6 month cheese is classified as hard. The Shach seemingly posits that 6 months is an approximate estimation of when cheese is categorized as hard for the purpose of waiting. It is not a hard rule or a rigid shear. And then you skip to the next line, the next paragraph. Right, there are three basic positions amongst American poskim regarding how to determine which types of cheese require one to wait after consuming them before then partaking of meat. So the first one is some poskim advance quite a conservative position in categorizing hard cheese. These poskim look exclusively to the cheese's texture and only require a waiting period for cheese which is so brittle such that it shreds or grates when cut, unable to be sliced. The vast majority of cheese do not fit in this category. Parmesan is the only common cheese which meets its extremely limited definition of hard cheese. And that's the way Rabbi Willig poskens. That the only cheese you have to wait for is Parmesan. Right? And therefore, there are some places that poskin you have to tell people when they're eating Parmesan. So there's a fancy restaurant on the Upper West Side, which used to be under one hechsher, now it's under the OK. When the OK took it over, one of the first things he did, they just put up a sign at the front of the store that if you had Parmesan, right, then you have to wait 6 hours, as per the psak of the Rambam. So some poskim think that the only time you have to wait is Parmesan. Two, he writes, other postman cautions are going to take a totally different approach. They hold that if a cheese is 6 months old, it requires a waiting period regardless of the cheese texture or taste. In fact, these postman agencies assure that the consumer is knowledgeable of the date of manufacture of any cheese they certify so the consumer can easily determine when the product has become 6 months old. These postman agencies are aware that the date of manufacture is especially relevant for cheese with a long shelf life. Many varieties of cheese are not always aged by their manufacturers for significant periods of time. However, the cheeses may become 6 months old or more by the time they arrive on the consumer's table. So some people really mock and think no, 6 months old is really 6 months old, even if it's not aged. It just happens to be that it lasts for 6 months. Right, that's also very, very difficult.
If you buy cheese and put it in your freezer, forget about it.
Correct. So that's some folks going to really, really, really take this very formally. And then if you skip the third, right, he's a third argument, more complex but quite technically grounded approach, is that A, cheese which must be aged for approximately 6 months in order to gain proper firm texture, and B, cheese of any age which has a potent aftertaste or categorizes hard cheese for the purpose of waiting after their consumption. Right, middle position. It's not things that happen to be 6 months old. It's things that that need to be aged for 6 months to get their taste, or any other cheese that has that type of
strength.
It's based
on individual.
Correct. I'm not going to.
That's like each block of cheese.
Specifically.
Right, so I'm not going to read the most of the rest of the article. If you go online, though, to this article, it's on YU Torah or on the OU's website, he has a list of, according to each posek, what cheese is what, right, how much things are aged for, to know whether you have to wait, depending on which psak you take.
How come we aren't saying that quinoa hapeh is the same? Like, it seems like everyone's just saying you have to wait. No one's saying
correct, because we don't pass on Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says that you don't have to wait at all. You just need quinoa after meat. But since we're machmer in the case of meat, we're machmer by dairy, right? Okay, just
so
one more.
We don't hold a quinoa as anything.
I mean, from milk to meat, we want you to do it, right, to get things out of your mouth. But from meat to milk, it doesn't help you at all.
Can you wait instead? From milk to meat,
6 hours.
It seems like it's more math than doing quinoa for waiting.
If you wait long enough, presumably you could, right?
If you wait,
and make sure there's nothing on your hands. Yeah. Okay. Just one more thing that he brings up at the end of this article is there is one question. The Yad Yehuda paskins that this chumrah to begin with only applies if the cheese isn't melted. But if it's melted, since it's already soft now, then it doesn't have the chumrah at all. The machlok is amongst modern poskim. So right. So it would only be a problem if you had you put fresh parmesan. But if you made a eggplant parmesan, then it would be fine. Most poskim are hesitant to Pasgan Gad. You, like, Yehuda?
Like a Parmesan, like...
You have to wait 6 hours after that, busy. Yeah. Right. That's why that is the basically the relevant halacha. This, like, the Parmesan, you know,
sprinkle.
You have to wait 6 hours after, or whatever, how many hours.
It's the people who are,
if you,
like,
assuming you pasquin.
It feels like the people are adding on kind of extra,
which we do. Meaning, in general, we pasquin like a shah.
Is there sheer?
So understanding.
Like, there's a sheer of when you have to order any amount.
Any amount.
It's like meat. You have one kind of meat.
Yeah. And that's the.
But not whatever we like.
It's usually for dinner, though, right?
What?
It's usually for dinner.
Yeah.
But then it makes it
easier. Meat after.
As you usually want to have dairy after.
Well, like, I'm sure there are times where, like, yeah, I'm hungry after. There's a piece of chicken there, and I'll eat it or something.
You would eat chicken after?
Now I wouldn't.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's fine. Just keep one out.
No, we don't.
We're not even.
Because the Rambam is, but we're not. Right. In the end of the day, right, that summary is you have all these potential kulas, but the standard Ashkenazi pesach is like the shach.
Is taking the most macher approach of cross.
Bid you. The most macher approach that we don't make no distinction between fish. Or, between chicken, whatever you eat. Well, fish is actually the next thing we
do. We don't hold by the mistake.
Okay. So that's cheese, and that's waiting for dairy.
What? Svardim don't hold by the shach.
Svardim don't hold by the shach. Yeah, I think Svardim don't wait. I think that's my feeling, that they don't wait. Okay, which brings us now quickly to fish. Right? What about waiting for fish between meat and fish? So the Torah says in 12 that the Rosh Hayaraga Litel Yada Bein Basal Adang Nechamir Sekanta Misura. Between fish and meat, he wouldn't wait, but he would wash his hands.
Don't sorry, it's not
because
even
it's
dairy and fish.
Yeah, we're gonna get to that.
We're gonna get to that in a minute.
Well.
Crazy.
Well, I'm sure we'll get to all of that.
We're going to get to it. Okay, so now meat and fish. So the Rosh used to wash his hands between meat and fish because we assumed that meeting fish and meat together is dangerous. So he would also wash his hands between, so you wouldn't have anything on your hands. Shulchan Aruch in 13, right? Paskin Sarkli Zarsha Lolechal Basar Vidagwi Achad. You can't eat meat and fish together. Mimnesha Kashal Litzara'at. Rama V'chein In Litzal Basar Amdag Mishum Recha. You shouldn't roast them together. Miu B'di Avad Ino Osir Yechotz Yodav Bin Basar Litag V'yochal Pas. The Rama says what you should do is once you've eaten it, you should wash your hands between, have a little bread, and then you're fine. And some say you don't even have to do that. It's only a problem to actually cook together. But there's no problem. And he says that's the minhag, to not even be machmir like the Rosh, to not eat fish and meat actually together. But that's all you have to do. And the minhag is not even to wash your hands between fish and meat. But he thinks you don't have to wash your hands. But then, you know, he's like, we could be make ill, but I think you should have something in between. Right? He says, even though I don't think you have to, the minhag is to do it. Right?
You
don't really wash it out. Have something. Have something. Right, if you look at 13, the next one, the Mishnah Berurah just says, he thinks that the Magen Avraham says it's not a problem at all, because it's not, we know it's not dangerous anymore, and Rav Aaron used to be very makel, so we didn't have two forks in yeshiva. Right, so there are some poskim who basically don't care about it at all, Bisman Hazet. What?
I think, what's his name?
A whole bunch of them. Oh, the Rosh Shiva?
What's his name? Rosh Schechter. I think he said that you just have to like liquor for it.
Right, so Rav Aaron was like really, really making it. He was like, so don't eat at the same time. But he didn't even, we had one fork and same plate and all that. And basically, right, so there's some people who are machmir, like the Rav Ma. And there's some people who are bichlal, who are basically not at all. Right, Brovsky, just in 14, summarizes, and he says, he thinks that it seems that the common custom is to refrain from cooking, mixing, eating fish and meat together. Furthermore, many our students use different forks from eating fish, or at least clean them from one to the other. Some even claim to have a minhag of drinking a shot of liquor between fish and meat due to this concern.
It's just an excuse.
That's a kiddish club.
That's
a kiddish club.
Correct. So there's some people who have this minhag, there's some who aren't. Here I think you really do find divergent practices. You'll find the people who are very machmir, you'll find the people who are bechal not, and people anywhere in between. But that's the basic issue there. What you mentioned, the Svardim not eating fish and cheese. So that's based on kind of read a typo in the Beis Yosef in 15. Beis Yosef writes in 15, so that seems to be a typo based on the Isser of Basar Vidagim. And it is a typo.
In other places he talks about...
Correct, that you can eat it together. And the other places he explicitly says you're allowed to eat fish and cheese. Despite the fact that it seems to be a typo, Rabovadia canonizes every typo in the Beis Yosef. So in the next source, Rabovadia actually does paskin like this typo in the Beis Yosef. And he writes, B'sikum, yesh leimanam yilechal dagim b'chalav, o'em gvina mishum chashar sakana. You shouldn't have fish and cheese or dairy together. But he thinks maybe you could be made by butter because it's a different consistency or something. But Ashkenazim are made.
A lot of people don't hold
on. What?
Based on the fact that.
Correct, because it's a typo. But there are those who do.
The Taz completely bash it.
Yes, they do.
Shaq's like, oh, we eat it all the time. And he's like,
yes, they do.
With him.
Correct. And that is the minhag, but that's the minhag. Ashkenaz, but are some zvar more machmir. Okay, so now some of the other harchakos. So the next harchakos the Gemara brings up in 16 is also lahalos magvina ala shulchan chutz mivazer dagim vechagavim, that you can have meat and meat milk on the same table except for fish and bugs, kosher bugs, because there's no iser basar b'chalav with them. So one is the iser of halal shulchan in 17, where this is where it continues right off. Olay magvin al shulchan veino nechal. There, Beis Shammai's own rule. Olay veino nechal. Beis Shammai thinks there's no problem. Beis Hillel thinks they can't be on the table together. And Amar Biyosi zumi kula Beis Shammai chum Beis Hillel. Again, this is one of Beis Hillel's chumras. But beiza shulchan hamru. What are we talking about? But shulchan shochal alav. It's the table that you eat on. Al shulchan shesoder alav is atav shel nosin zebitzad zeveino choshesh. The table that you're preparing the food on, it's no problem. So why is there a iser to have meat and milk on the same table that you're eating at?
There's a higher chance you're going to actually eat them together.
Or?
They might mix,
right? So that's the machlok that we showed
in. More of a chance to mix when you're on the table you're eating.
Right, so the symbol is understood. Right, so the symbol... Right, so if you look at 18 and 19, Rashi says, because you're dealing with them, you might end up touching them together, or they end up mixing, and then you have to wonder why he thinks there's no problem on the serving table, but that's how Rashi understands it. Presumably on the serving table, you're not as caught up because you're not actually eating. The Ran says, but you just said that no, it's about eating. The Gemara brings up another harchaka, and then we'll get to Psak, right, in Kuf Zayin. The Shnei Achzayin Ochlan al Shulchan Echa. Two guests are allowed to eat at the same table, meat and milk. Amar Rav Chanan Barami, Amar Shmuel, Lo Shanu El Shein Makirin Zed Zeb. The only time that two people can eat milk and meat at the same table is they don't know each other. Makirin Zed Zeb also, but if they know each other, they can't. Tiny Miachi.
To prove the point that it's about eating.
But so that seems to be a riot for the Ran. And then the Gemara says, when is an Osir b'tfisa achas? What is tfisa achas? We'll see in a second. Tfisa achas al kadaitach ela kein tfisa achas. What does tfisa achas literally mean?
One
grab, right? The tfos, right? To be able to grab it. But what does it mean? So I just gave you the summarize. It's complicated, Rishonim, but I gave you Rav Brovsky's summary. So what exactly does the phrase ke'ein tfisa achas mean? The Rishonim debate the meaning of this limitation. Tosos themselves cite two explanations. According to one interpretation, ke'ein tfisa achas refers to hotza achas, or one expenditure. In other words, if two people share the cost of food, some dairy and some meat, they may not eat the food together at the same table simultaneously. The concern is clearly that since both paid for the food, each will feel perfectly at ease taking from the other's meal, which may lead to a violation of Basar B'chalav. According to another interpretation, Ke'ein Tfisa Achas refers to the physical proximity of the two people eating meat and milk. Since the two acquaintances eat on the same table, we consider them as if they eat together, giving rise to the concern that they one may eat from the other's plate. Therefore, Tosfos is right that if one can create a noticeable hekir or separation between the two guests, they may eat their meals on the same table. Tosfos observed that the custom to either place a loaf of bread or a pitcher in between them, or make a point of eating on separate placemats. In either of these scenarios, enough of a separation is established that one will not come to eat off the other's plate. So Tosa is going like the second explanation, this Kein Tfisa Achas, that we're worried about is you're actually going to grab the food. So they say if it's a problem that we're worried, you're actually going to grab the food. So the way to solve it is... A heck yeah, right? Remind yourself so that you won't. So now how do we paskin on both of these things, right? What are the limitations of halal, shulchan, and eating together with someone who's eating meat and milk at the same table? So, 22, Shulchan Aruch says, Afil basar chayav o basar lalos al shulchan sh'ochol lav vina, shul yavol ochol yacha, you can't eat them at the same table. Avil b'shulchan sh'sodra lav atav shul mutar liktan zebet tzadzeh, but in the table where you're preparing the food, you can. And then he says, Hadasar lalos al shulchan davka b'shnei adam ha-makirin zedzeh. This is only with two people who know each other. Even if they are makbid. In the end of the day, if you know each other, you might end up sharing food. But if they're guests who don't know each other, it's fine. And even those who do recognize each other, know each other, if they make a heker, if each eats on his own placemat, or they put something in between, like bread, reminder, mutter. The Ramah just adds that when you have a heker, you can't put a loaf of bread you're eating from, right? Because that's not a heker, that's normally on the table. It has to be a heker, something that reminds you, not something that's part of the meal.
Like a poop.
Correct. Said, what if you put a pitcher and you don't normally keep the pitcher on the table, you keep it on the side? So then, have a hacker so then you are allowed to, but obviously if we normally have pitchers on the table, a pitcher doesn't work for us either. If you put a lamp there, that's also fine. But you shouldn't, and you shouldn't, then he adds another thing. You also shouldn't drink from the same cup. Or this is an addition of the Ramah. Why? Because right there's right exactly right there's stuff left on the cup. The kosher kids you shouldn't eat from the same bread. And he also says that the minog was to have different salt, not shakers, right? How did they used to have salt on the table? Right, they used to dip it. So he said the minhag was to have different salt bowls for milk and meat. If I mean tov milk, this is shirei machal milk. There might be food left over in the salt. The achronim argue about whether our salt shakers are like this of the Ramah. Many say that we don't have to be makbid because we shake it from on top. It's not a big deal.
Some people say this.
Other people say that it's a formal thing that, right, still it might be a problem. Well,
and steam, some people say a problem also.
Well, if it's really steaming, that might might be a problem. But even just in terms of touching it, so some of the poskim are really makbid, some of them are not. Some of the poskim have a middle position, which is normally you can have the same salt shaker for milk and meat unless you have kids. Right, you have kids, forget it, because kids, you know, they stick it inside the milk, and the same problem for the Ramah exists with kids.
My brother does it when he puts hot sauce and stuff, he always accidentally touches the...
Right, so for that reason, some poskim think you have to worry about that as well. One more point just on the harchakos is we do have another area of halacha where we have harchakos, namely...
Nida,
right? That when husband and wife are forbidden to each other, so you need a harchaka on the table because they're not allowed to eat together. One of the harchakos, though, in that case, is that you're allowed to have a third person at the table. So some poskim think that works here too. That the only time there's an isser is if there are only two people at the table.
What's the third person eater?
What?
What's the third person? Eater?
Right. One of the achronim says that.
Don't do that.
Correct. But 90% of the achronim, right, maybe more, think that that's ridiculous. They think no. By nida, the reason that a third person at the table helps is because it's not an intimate meal anymore. When you have a third, right, if you have a third wheel, it's not a date anymore. But by bas b'cholov, right, that's not what it is. It's a heker to remind you not to eat, so it doesn't help. What you need is something that's going to remind you not to touch. And I think, correct. And I think that that's posthumous in poskim. I mean, but that's right. So that's the halacha. The achronim have a long deal of what happens if it's one person at the table. Is that better or worse? Right. Right. Yeah. Like you have a huge table, you have milk at this side, and you just happen to have meat on the all the way on the other side of the table. So is that not a problem at all? Right. So some achronim are like, well, that's less of a problem because who's going to get the meat on the other side? If you have two people at the table, so you might be, you know, passing it. Some people say, no, it's the worst, because if you're home alone, right, you're eating standing up, you're walking around the table, right, nothing is a hekir for you at all, right, you've got to put it away. So with one person you have, min ha-katzeh la-katzeh. Okay, there's a few more things. We're going a little bit over time, but that's bad.
Nice, sit down.
So, okay. Shulchan Aruch then in 23 says, in addition, when you're going to switch a meal from meat to milk, or milk to meat, or whatever, you need to get rid of the... Really, from milk to meat, you got to get rid of the crumbs, right? Because you don't want the crumbs getting on your food, right? So he says, get rid of the bread that you were eating with the cheese, and you can't eat on the same tablecloth meat and milk. And you can't cut meat and milk with the same knife. And you can't cut the bread that you eat with meat and milk with the same knife. But the way to make it, to matir it, take the knife and stick it 10 times in the ground, right? Because then you get off the mamashes that's on the knife. What?
With
a
sponge?
What? A sponge would probably work also. Some poskim think not, some think yes.
I have a bucket of dirt in my kitchen.
I'm glad.
Not better than using soap.
But the Shulchan, but then the Rama says, Aval, Kvarnagu kol Yisrael Yisrael Shnei Sakinim. Despite the fact that you could solve it this way, the Minog Yisrael is to have two different knives. And make a note so that there'll be a hekar. But no, Gulirsham al Chalav, the Minog is to make a note on the dairy one. Main Lashano's Minog Shel Yisrael, and that's the Minog.
That's what everyone does.
Yeah, so the Shulchan Aruch says, so again, what you have to do is first of all clear off the bread. You're not allowed to use the same bread from meat to milk, right, that was on the table. You can't use the same tablecloth from meat to milk, and you can't use the same knife. You can solve the problem with the needs of a karko, where the minhag is to have two separate knives from meat and milk. Now, do we still paskin that you need different tablecloths from meat and milk? So, Shulchan Aruch says yes, but in 24, the Piskei Tshuva notes that might only have been when they ate
their
hands on the tablecloth. Our tablecloth is different than their tablecloth. No, they didn't have plates, right? They ate off the table.
No, they didn't. That's crazy.
Yes, they did. Remember, the Persian tables, right, were basically the size of a plate. That was your plate.
It's a tray.
And they were personal trays, right? So if you put a mop, it makes sense. You put it straight on. But the Piskei Tshuva writes in 24,
we don't care about the crumbs on the tablecloth and stuff.
Right, so it would be less of a problem.
Okay,
right?
Eating off the tablecloth.
Right, you should get it off, but it's not the same chumrah. Right, you should get off the stuff.
You're not dipping your steak into the...
Correct. Right, so some postgame are maker like the Biscay Chuva. Some postgame are still mocking and saying, nah, because there's still things, and your food still sometimes falls off the plate, right, and you pick it up, especially like bread, like it'll fall on your napkin,
we
right?
We use placemats.
Right, so where's that? So placemats comes from this, right? That exactly, right? The minhag to have a different plate that comes from this to have different mapot. Okay. Rav Moshe just says an important shuvah in 25 in terms of the bread. So he just says, so what does he say? So he says, why is no one makvid on this? So he just says, I'll summarize for you outside, he says it depends. He says, there's no chumrah if you have a whole loaf of bread on the table. The chumrah is sliced bread. Right? Because, like, if you think about it, right, if you think about it with your challah, right, the half of the challah, right, you cut the challah in half, right, you leave half on the challah plate, and then half of you've cut them into slices. So the ones that was cut up into slices, right, you're passing around the table, your hands are dirty, right, meats are getting on it. The half of it that you cut before you start eating and sitting on the side of the table is fine. So Rav Moshe says, he only thinks you have to eat machmir when it slices of bread that you're actually eating from, but if you have a whole loaf of bread sitting on the side of the table, the fact that it was on the table isn't a problem. You should...
He wouldn't have a problem with sliced bread that was sliced before.
Right. That would also be a problem if it's on the table. Yeah, I mean, if it's in a bag on the side, no. If it's like you have a bread tray in the middle of the table and people are passing it around, then it's a problem. So in general, the suggestion of the Chamais is after you cut the challah, if you're going to want to use it for French toast on Sunday morning, so take the half and just put it on the side, right? If you leave the whole challah there and people are passing it around, it's going to be a problem. If you put it on the side, then you have the cool of Rav Moshe. It's only a problem the slices of bread on the table. in the second part, he just summarized, and I won't read it inside, says there are some achronim, like the Aruch HaShulchan, who say that this chumrah extends not just to bread, but to anything on the table, and therefore they're makbid not to use the same salad, the same dips, same anything from a meat to milk meal. Some poskim are machmer on that. The Aruch HaShulchan, for example, Rav Moshe Feinstein is making and says, no, the chumrah is specifically bread, which you're handling with your hands, not like dips and stuff that you have with a spoon, right, or a serving spoon, so that there's no problem at all. 26 is just the Aruch HaShulchan, where I put that he is machmer. But again, Rav Moshe is Mako, which I think the Minhag HaPashut, there are people who are machmer, but I think the Minhag HaPashut is to use it, so just to summarize. So again, Mikra Adin, you don't have to wait from milk to meat, you have to just rinse out your mouth in between. There are those who wait half an hour based on the Zohar. From hard cheese, Svardim are not machmer. The Marshal thinks you shouldn't be. The Minhag, I think, is like the Shach, to be machmer, like the Marmi Rittenberg. There are three different positions, only for Parmesan. All of the other trim, anything aged 6 months, are only strong cheeses, and can look at Ray Gardner's article for details of what that is. What else do we say? There's the question of fish and meat, where we don't eat them together. Some people say bismanazet, there's no problem. Some say you still shouldn't eat them together, but you don't have to wash in between. Some people do wash their hands in between, right, the rush, but that's not normative psak. But the Ramah says lichachil, you should wash your mouth. Fish and cheese, again, seems to be a typo in the Beis Yosef, but Rav Ovadia is machmer anyways. Ashkenazim are mekel entirely, eating, having meat and milk at the same table and eating with other people, so that we paskin to have a heker, unless you don't know each other, we never eat each other's food, and a heker is something that you wouldn't have on the wouldn't normally have on the table. To remind you, you should get rid of the crumbs, eat from different tablecloth. Of Bismanas, that might not be a problem because we don't eat off the table, but some people have the different placemats, which may not be necessary mikra din. Knives, you shouldn't use them unless you clean it in between, but the minhag, again, according to the Ramah, is to have two completely separate knives. Rav Moshe's distinction between sliced bread and whole loaves of bread, and the question of whether it applies to other foods, again, a machlokes between the Aruch HaShulchan and Rav Moshe.